Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hey, everyone. This is Chris Miles here. Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. I am your host and very honored to be here to teach you about how to live your life truly abundantly with purpose, passion, and most importantly, how to have true financial prosperity today, not just 30 or 40,000 years from now. It's all about how do we create the life that you love and the life that you really want and the financial ability and the business that you truly want right now. So as I'm bringing on my guest here, Dr. Paul Jenkins, I just want to remind you, be sure to check us out at www.moneyripples.com. It's great blogs. We got other podcasts. We're on iTunes as well. But definitely check out our stuff. Do everything possible to learn what we teach here because, you know, we love to give you a great few minutes of value here, but, you know, we always want to keep serving you and keep creating value for you so that you can truly prosper and become living, walking testimonials of what we have. Because this show, you know, just like my company Money Ripples is called, I want to create a ripple effect, not just a ripple effect through the clients that I work with, but through each of you. Because as it starts with you in your own personal life, and you really truly apply these principles and these strategies and make them work for you, it creates a ripple effect that goes through you and blesses and prospers your life, blesses your family's life and your kids and your grandkids and generations beyond you, stopping generations of scarcity, not to mention blessing your friends, community, blessing the country, and ultimately around the world. And I can't do it without you guys. Seriously, this is exactly why I'm here, why I'm doing this, and why I want you guys to be able to get the greatest value possible. So today, it is my definite privilege to be able to bring on Dr. Paul Jenkins. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him professionally and maybe a little bit personally, too. Dr. Paul has been a psychologist, psychologist, yes. been a professional psychologist, done that for years. But the reason why I love him is that this guy does not focus on the negative aspects of psychology, but as we're going to talk about today, about how to be pathologically positive, right? Look at it from a place where you're not a victim, but a place of true power. He's got a great book out there called Pathological Positivity that's coming out, and even another book coming out later this year along those same lines. Amazing guy, radio show host. He's been at many of my events and spoken at my events because what he teaches is so powerful and so amazingly awesome that you want to hang on every word that he has. And as I mentioned before, you know, I do not bring posers on the show. I don't bring people that are faking it. I bring on the real people that are the real deal and really give it to you the way it should be. And when it comes to mindset and especially how we need to look at things, which affects everything in our life, including our money and our business, it's so essential to be able to get that under control and understand it. And I'll tell you, Paul is a master at this. So, Paul, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris. And I think I'm going to hire you as my publicity director and speech introducer. I'm honored to be on your show today. I've enjoyed our associations and just happy to be here to do some good today.
Well, we're glad to have you on. You got lots of value to offer, so... So, Paul, tell us a little bit more about yourself and kind of the path you've taken, because the thing that impressed me the most about getting to know you is that you didn't take the traditional path in your field. You took a different path, which I think is more of the higher road. And tell us more about that.
Actually, I started on a traditional path. In fact, I had a traditional psychotherapy practice for about 13 years, and I did pretty well with that, Chris. It was a good place to be, but there was something that was lacking. I found that a lot of my clients, and just inside of my own thinking, realizing that there has to be something better than this. I made a shift about 7 or 8 years ago to positive psychology. meaning on the positive end of the spectrum. So if you think of your emotions, your mental health, your psychological life, your relationships, everything that makes up your psychology on a spectrum, clear over on the left end of the spectrum is the sick end. So that's where we have diagnosis, pathology, treatment, all of that fun stuff. My practice is focused on the other end. And to understand that, maybe we could go to the center first. At the center of this spectrum is health. Health meaning not sick. You'd think that health is the opposite of sick, right?
Right.
But if we look at it as being just being not sick, you could be sick in bed with a fever, throwing up. There comes a time when you can get out of bed and you're no longer sick. But that doesn't mean that you're truly fit, thriving, prospering. This is the abundant life that we've talked about before.
Right.
That's the end of the spectrum I'm interested in, and that's what we're focusing on when we talk about pathological positivity. That's the real crux of the book that came out last summer.
So are we all messed up?
Pretty much. It's a funny question, Chris, because everybody's got issues, right?
Right.
Everybody has issues. But welcome to Earth. That's how we roll here.
Welcome to the Human Club, right?
Yeah, right. And it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, but we get it in our heads sometimes that, oh, this means that something's wrong with me. And that's what we're really trying to challenge in this new way of thinking, or at least in this new focus on the positive end of things. What's going well as opposed to what's not working. And
yeah.
It's just been a lot of fun, you know, to make that transition. I've seen that a lot of my clients have really prospered as a result of turning their focus, their mindset. And this is, I think this is probably where we're going today, with the idea of mindset. Everything starts with a paradigm or a perception that we carry. And when you understand how your mind processes information, it puts you in position to have a higher level of choice and control over the direction that your mind goes with you.
Right. Now, as you know, this show has a lot of people, especially those that are in small business or entrepreneurs of that nature, or people just looking to improve their lives and make it better. Where do you see it? As you worked with people in practice, and not trying to bring up specific examples, of course, due to confidentiality, but you know, where do you see a lot of people getting hung up? Like, where do they get stuck that a lot of times might even limit the results they get in business and in life in general?
Well, let's talk about this mindset idea, because I think that's where people get stuck first, but that's also the place where we can create some freedom and some new possibilities. So part of my job, this is actually kind of fun, because part of my job is to illuminate the obvious, which is really cool. You think about that. I get paid to tell people things they already know, to show them things they already see. I mean, this is cool, right? But a lot of the obvious things are unnoticed. And because of that, it's outside of our area of choice until it comes into our awareness. So, for example, the feeling of your shoes. Can you feel them now?
Well, I'm barefoot right now, so not really.
Yeah, you're at home in your pajamas, right?
I got a nice shirt up on top, but party on the bottom with the pants.
Think about your shirt. Think about it. Just an article of clothing that you're wearing right now. You couldn't feel it until I called your attention to it, and now you feel it very clearly. All of you who are listening, Chris there at home in his bare feet, you feel it now, but you didn't feel it before I mentioned it. At least you didn't notice it. You were feeling it. I mean, your nerves are working just fine. Or the fact that we're speaking English. Did you notice? It's obvious, but unnoticed until it's called to your attention. And then it's very obvious. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Okay? So our mind operates to process information and has different tasks that we ask it to do. So think of your mind right now as doing some job for you. And whatever it's going to do for you, you can ask it to do, or it's just going to do automatically. But one way or another, it's going to step up and do a job for you.
Yeah.
So I shared this at one of your seminars recently, Chris, where we talked about what is. It is what it is. You've probably heard that phrase before.
Right.
And that feels a little dismissive or sometimes even annoying to some people. They think, well, you know, just throw up my hands. There's nothing that I can do about it. But I'm talking about this in terms of the real definition of what is. What is just that. It's where you are. It's what you have. It's where you've been. It's the way things are now without anything changing. It is what it is. Now, our mind has a task to evaluate what is. And what I mean is we constantly look at our situation, our circumstances, our relationships, our job, our finances, whatever it is, and we evaluate it. Is this good or bad? Is this lucky or unlucky? I don't know. I'll check. And then our mind goes and checks. Well, how can we tell if something's good or bad, lucky or unlucky, fortunate or unfortunate? We have to compare it to something, to some standard.
Right.
If we don't have an immediate standard, we go to our imagination. Okay, now this is one of those obvious but unnoticed things. So we imagine something to compare it to. I mean, if I were to ask you, am I a tall man, Chris, what would you say? You know me.
Depends. compared to me, you are. But compared to Mark Eaton or Shaquille O'Neal or someone like that, you're short.
Well, it's funny that you'd mention Mark Eaton because I have a picture of me standing next to Mark Eaton in my book, in the book Pathological Positivity. And I put it in there for this purpose because I stand 6'2", Chris. And compared to most people, that's pretty tall. But compared to Mark, I'm a shrimp. Mark's 7'4".
Right.
So it depends on who you compare it to or what you compare it to. So our mind has to do this. And I want to underscore that. You can't turn this off any more than you can turn off gravity. Your mind will judge and evaluate your situation and what is. So I shared a little scenario with the group that we were speaking to in that seminar about going into a public building. If you go into a public building and while you're standing there, suddenly a guy comes in with a ski mask and a gun, okay, wearing a ski mask, carrying a gun, starts yelling, how would you feel? Probably upset. Well,
yeah, naturally alarmed or alert.
Yeah, and maybe nervous and worried, right? Now, going to a level of metacognition, okay, so cognition is thinking. Metacognition is thinking about thinking. This gets a little loopy, so stay with me. When we think about our thinking, it creates a little space, and in that space is where our choice exists. But we don't always notice it because it's one of those obvious but unnoticed things. Okay, so going to the scenario, if the guy comes in with the gun, why would you feel nervous and upset? Well, when we go to the level of metacognition, we can see that we feel nervous and upset because of our imagination.
Right.
Are you okay with that, Chris?
Yeah.
Now, some people might protest, wait, but the gunman is not imaginary, he's real. Okay, yeah, but what are we imagining?
Whatever could happen.
Yeah. What might happen here? What's he going to do? We don't know. So we're imagining that, and in our imagining of it, we actually create our own feelings. Okay, so just notice that your feelings come from what you're imagining. Now, keep the metacognition turned on. Let's go back to the scenario. Unbeknownst to the gunman, security officer for the building is standing right behind him in the hallway. And this cop is thinking, no, I don't think so. Not on my shift, not today. As he leaps and tackles this guy hard, driving him to the floor. In the process, you hear the explosion of a single shot from that gun. Boom! And then you feel a bullet hit you. Okay? right in the foot. Now, did you feel it change right there?
Oh, for sure.
So everyone, as you're listening to this, just wrap your head around this for a minute. You get shot in the foot. It is what it is. This guy goes off to jail. You go to the emergency room. Scenario over right there. Now, your mind kicks into evaluation mode. Is this good or bad? Is this lucky or unlucky, fortunate or unfortunate? I don't know. I'll check. Now your mind goes and compares it to something. So you get shot in the foot. Can you imagine anything better than getting shot in the foot? What would you say?
Yeah, not getting shot at all.
Right. Yeah, that's not too hard, right? No gunman
right.
comes in. Everything goes just as I had planned it to. Nobody gets shot anywhere. That would be better, right?
Right.
Now, as we evaluate our situation and we compare it to that, getting shot in the foot looks pretty darn awful.
Sure.
Compared to not getting shot, right? And
yeah.
we're not making it up. It really does look bad. And our feelings follow. Now, when I said, you got shot, and I paused, and then I said, in the foot, what was the feeling?
Relief.
Yeah. Yeah, almost immediate, right? Why?
Well, because like in Dumb and Dumber, when Jim Carrey said, what if I got shot in the face? Right?
Right? Yeah. And so your imagination was working on this scenario before you had all of the information. I said, you got shot, and then you're imagining what? Getting shot in the face or in the chest or in some body part you like better. And compared to that, how does getting shot in the foot look?
No, much better.
Lots better. And we're not making that up either. It really does look good compared to those worst things.
Yeah.
And we all see the news. I mean, you hear these stories about 20 people being shot in a theater or half a dozen kids being killed in a school. We don't like to think about these things, but we can imagine them. And because we can imagine them, we can compare our current situation to that, and suddenly getting shot in the foot looks pretty darn good.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not saying it's not painful, because that's where we get confused. And you asked, where do people get stuck? It's when things are painful or difficult or challenging. We are tempted to say that it's bad.
Right.
Well, Chris, it's only bad compared to something better. Right?
Right. Well, much like when I was going through really tough financial times, I remember thinking, it can't get any worse than this. But then it would get worse. I thought, well, I was wrong. And then I realized it could always get worse.
Always. And you know what? That's probably important to emphasize before we move on, is that what is, I don't care where you are, you know, what your situation is, what is always between better and worse.
Mm.
Always. And better and worse is all imaginary, because what is all we've got in reality. Therefore, how we judge it, how we evaluate it, depends on which direction we look to make that comparison. So I'm not even asking people to change this. I just want you to notice it. Notice that your evaluation of what is depends on which direction you're looking. And typically we're comparing our situation to something imaginary, something that isn't, but we can imagine, that's either better or worse than what we've got. Is that all making sense so far?
Yeah, so far it's great.
Because we're not done yet, all right?
Oh, no.
Evaluation is only part of what our mind is doing for us. But notice that it's happening, and it's happening all the time, and you can't turn it off. Now, let's go to creation. Creation is the other task that our mind is doing for us. Not creation of what is, creation of what is to be. And that doesn't exist yet because we haven't created it yet.
Right.
So the only place it exists currently is in our imagination. Can you imagine? Well, here's an interesting little idea, Chris. What if I were to give all of our listeners right now an assignment? Let's just push pause on the recording. I want everybody to just run outside into the community, take about a half hour, and see if you can make your life worse. What kind of a ridiculous assignment is that, right?
Right.
But look how quickly you can imagine half a dozen ways to pull that off. You can imagine your life getting worse, and it wouldn't take a half hour, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But that's not what our imagination of something worse is for. Okay? I want to come back to that in just a minute. But you have the power to imagine something worse or something better is on the way. Okay? It's imaginary because it's not here yet. Now, how do we feel when we imagine that what's coming is better than what we've already got? If it's going to be better, I'm feeling good. I'm excited. I'm enthused. I'm so stoked about what's coming that's even better than what I've already got. How do we feel when we imagine that what's coming is worse?
Despair.
Yeah.
Hopelessness.
And really, specifically, anxiety.
Mm.
Okay, clinically speaking, this is where anxiety hangs out. When we imagine that what's coming is worse than what we've already got. See, that's the emotional trap. Do we know what's coming? No.
No.
So we're imagining it. When we see that, it puts us in a position of choice. We don't have to imagine something worse or something better. We get to choose which one serves us best. So these two things work in conjunction with each other, evaluation of what is and creation of what is to be. And then we've got this amazing imagination, our mental power of imagination, and it has two different ends to it. Let's just think of it that way for a minute. Two different ends to this same tool. You can imagine something better, and you can imagine something worse. Let's use the right end of the tool for the right job. It's like a hammer. You know how a hammer has, on the head of a hammer, there's this blunt end that you use for pounding nails, right?
Right.
And the other end looks like a claw. What's its purpose?
Well, it's to pull the nails out.
Exactly. Now, you can't pull nails out using the face of the hammer. You have to use the claw. And you shouldn't try to pound nails using the claw. That doesn't work well. In the same way, our imagination of something better is not for the purpose of beating ourselves up because we're not there yet. I mean, think of it, Chris. How many times do you run into this when you're talking to people about their finances? How are you doing financially? And they're like, oh, it could be better. Well, yeah,
tell
me something I didn't know. Right? Is there ever a time when that won't be true?
No.
Right. No matter how much money you're making. So rather than beating ourselves up because we're not there, what if we were to take a moment and reflect on this truth? And this is true of, I think, all of your clients, Chris. They are in the top 10% of the world's wealthy. Is that true?
Absolutely.
I said the world's wealthy, right? You think of all of the people in this world who don't even have a roof over their head. They have no idea where their next meal is coming from. And now how are your finances looking? Pretty good in comparison.
Yeah, it's that comparison. How many studies have we heard about people and happiness, and at what point are people happy with more money? And it's always just above the average of wherever they are. There's no number other than just above the average.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because of the comparisons.
Yeah.
I had a family come in to see me just yesterday, Chris, and they were sitting right here on this couch that I'm looking at. Yes, I do have a couch, folks. And this couple was saying, we are financially just dying here. You know, we're in such a bad position. It's just awful, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. And I said, oh, really? how did you get to my office today? What do you think their answer was?
They drove?
In a car, yeah. They drove a car. And then I asked them, do you have any device that includes a screen? And they have many. And then I asked them, do you know where your next meal is coming from? And yes, they knew. See, we had to take a few minutes to put this in perspective. Because when you see that you're doing well, what that does, Chris, psychologically, it powers up the mind to really move forward and powerfully create an upgrade from there. And this is almost self-explanatory, too. I mean, when you think about when you're feeling depressed and defeated and inadequate and not good enough, how likely are you to go do something productive?
Not very.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You're more likely to go make a mess. And we're powerful to create messes. But when we take enough time in the evaluation mode to see that what we've got is good, and this is fostered primarily by gratitude, by the way. When you can focus on what you're grateful for, it's like a switch in your mind. It changes the power. And then from that place, we can move forward and create an upgrade. I'll get behind my clients doing an upgrade any day of the week. But it starts with positive evaluation. And let's talk about upgrade for just a minute. I've got a phone here. It's an Android, Motorola Razr. It's awesome. It's amazing. It does more than my first 7 computers did. And I want an upgrade. Why? Why would I want an upgrade? Well, because an upgrade is available.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Something better is available. I don't want an upgrade because this sucks. I want an upgrade even though this rocks. Okay, can you wrap your head around that? When we get to that place in our life where we see that our life is good, this is awesome, I'm doing well. And then we clap our hands together and we say, okay, what's next? That's when we go after the upgrade. And from that positive energy, you are more likely to create an upgrade in your life, in your finances, your relationships, whatever you're talking about. You see it as good. Be grateful for what you have, and then you can move forward and create all kinds of amazing upgrades. So you kind of turned me loose on that, Chris, and I jumped. You can tell I'm passionate about it. But.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it reminded me of something I learned from a mentor years ago that I had heard. And he said this from a very, very much of an Idaho twang kind of hick sound. but he said, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm sure the heck ain't where I used to be.
That's right.
And if you think about it, use that evaluation and creation so beautifully, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's a journey. It's not a destination. There's always an upgrade available. I don't care how well you're doing. It could be better. And
you've never
it could always be worse. Yeah, right. It's like running to the horizon. You can't go there because it's not a real place. It's a mental tool, a construct, a tool of thinking, if you will.
Right. Awesome stuff. So if you're giving one final last tip to listeners, I know we're running short on time, what would you tell them?
You've heard it 100 times probably, just think positive. But let's go beyond the trite, fluffy, you know, all the motivational speakers from years past who have said that, and understand that that is actually and literally a choice. And it happens in these two different phases, evaluation of what is and creation of what is to be. Positive thinking is using that powerful imagination of ours to see that we're in a good place now, and that powers us up to move forward and create something even better.
Definitely. Knowing you could always imagine something worse, grateful for what is, and knowing it can only get better, right?
Well, You say it can only get better.
Well, I shouldn't say that. But knowing
actually,
it can be better. How about that?
Yeah, and why not imagine that and put our creative energy toward that?
Versus
That's
spending
what
hours in anxiety.
Yeah. You've probably seen this with your practice too, Chris, that it's a lot easier to help people make some money, for example, when they're grateful for the money that they have.
Right.
It's
easier to make money when you're grateful for it.
Absolutely. It's kind of like going to the bank when you want to get a loan. You have to prove to the bank that you don't need the loan, and then they're happy to give it to you.
Exactly. Only give it to you when you want it, never when you need it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. So, Paul, how would they be able to find you? Like, what's the best place they can go to check you out?
Oh, the easiest place is the website, drpauljenkins.com, spelled with a D-R. D-R-P-A-U-L-J-E-N-K-I-N-S. DrPaulJenkins.com.
And when I say they to check you out, I don't mean go to MySpace. Yeah.
Although, all of my social media connections are there, too. You can go to the upper right-hand corner and click on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. So connect that way as well. There's a free download available, Chris, for your listeners. If they would like to go to the website, just register with your email address, and we'll send you an MP3 recording of the four truths for those who love their life. I would love to provide that, and that's free of charge.
Awesome.
That's where they can link to the podcast and the YouTube station and all that stuff too.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That's great. Yeah, definitely take advantage of that, guys. Yeah, take advantage of those four rules. And if you're saying, man, I want more of this, I like it, I love it, I want some more of it, you know, definitely check out his book, Pathological Positivity. Check it out, read it, apply it, and make it part of who you are, because I'm telling you, the successful people get this. Whether they can describe it as well as Dr. Paul can or not, they get it, they make it work in their lives, and miracles happen. And I definitely can attest to that as well, that a lot of the things that changed for me financially happened by doing the very things that Paul had mentioned. And the sad thing is I didn't have him back then. It would have helped a lot more. And who knows, maybe it would have shaved off a year of suffering, you know. But either way, it was perfect. It was divine. It was great, and grateful for it. So, Dr. Paul, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're awesome.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
You bet. And everyone else, go make it a prosperous week, and we'll see you again.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.